But we have to stop looking for salvation in this system. The system is not going to fix itself. If the system is restored, it will be restored with the hammer of patriotism smacking this system out between the anvil of freedom and teaching this system that there is a shape we want it to maintain, and that we have the forge of rage, and we will put that system in that forge of rage, and we will use that hammer of liberty and pound it against the anvil of freedom until it returns to the shape we want it to be in.
Cherry Coke Town. Mama and Daddy put the roots right here, 'cause this is where the car broke down. Yellow dog school bus kicking up red dust, picking us up by a barbed wire fence. MTV on the RCA, no AC in the vents. We were Jesus, Sammy, blue jean baby, born in the USA. Trailer park, truck stop, faded little map, Dodge, New York to L.A.
Does this country remind you of the America that you grew up in? Do your children enjoy the same freedoms that you did when you were young?
Do you think that you can take me on? You must be crazy. There ain't a single thing you've done that's gonna faze me.
Just how far are you willing to be pushed? When are we gonna put our collective foot down and tell the tyrant, get off of my back? Hi, I'm Cope Reynolds, and if you're tired of the same old sugar-coated mush-mouth monologue of talk radio, join me for The Shooting Bench, Monday through Friday, 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific, 10 to midnight Central. Guns, self-defense, survival, current events are just a few of the topics that we'll discuss on The Shooting Bench. and we're going to start discussing them right now.
Have you forgotten?
And we're here, and we're ready. Mountain Shooter, I don't know what you're so impatient about. Yes, sir, I'm going to be on tonight. Yeah, absolutely. It's the 22nd of September, and it's a Tuesday. And things are moving right along for the expo here. We've got a gal working that's trying to get Chamber of Commerce involved in it. I'm not sure if it's going to come to fruition or not. But we've got the forms out for the vendors and starting to get vendors signed up. So it looks like it's going to turn out to be a pretty good deal. And we've got a bunch of folks from Idaho and Washington coming down. So we're looking forward to that. And hopefully we'll get out and be able to go out and do a little shooting and messing around when everybody gets here. And we've got people I know coming up from Phoenix. And people coming down from Kingman, and probably be a few over here from New Mexico. So we're really looking forward to having a decent turnout for this thing. Hopefully some of y'all can make it. The Long Slide and Eddie Crump's coming down here. And, of course, Tampico Scout and B2 Basic, of course, can make it. Yeah, okay. Alright, well let's move on. There's so many, I've been reading a lot of stuff today, all kinds of different things going on here with the Pope coming in and the shootings down in Phoenix and the weather, and there's just so many things going on. What an exciting time we live in. Wow. Lots of stuff. But here is a... There's several points to this story. This happened in Warren, I think, Michigan. I believe. Anyway, doesn't matter where it was. There was a customer just stepped out of the bathroom at the bank in this town when he was confronted with a bank robber pointing a gun in his face. So just about that time, the guy is 60 years old, is able to draw his own pistol and emptied the gun as the guy was trying to run away. Okay, now let's stop right there first. It's unwise, probably, in a place like that could possibly be, or certainly other customers and whatnot around, to shoot at someone as they're running away. This guy didn't have any idea at that time, at that point, whether he had actually robbed the bank or whether he did pull a gun on him. But he also turned around and ran. So depending on what the laws are in your particular state, that may not always be the wisest thing to do. If he obviously hasn't shot anyone or something and you haven't determined that he actually is a felon at that point, then it'd probably be best just to let him go. I know that's probably not what a lot of us want to do, but it's probably what all of us should do to avoid complications here. Well, then some new details came out, and this was Monday. I guess it just happened yesterday. And this robbery ended up with the alleged robber. They're not sure it was him, but they. I guess they are sure it's him, but they have to say alleged. I mean, anyway, they found him all covered with blood outside, and he had been shot by the customer. Now, as luck would have it, he did have cash on him and a Colt Mark V pistol. He was taken to the hospital with non-critical injuries, and the customer was not injured. So the good guy won in this case. Now, whether or not he did he did the right thing as far as I'm concerned. Don't get me wrong. I'm in full agreement with what he did. I'm just saying that in a lot of jurisdictions, you might want to be careful shooting at somebody that's running away. Unless they have fleeing felon laws, and you have determined beyond a reasonable doubt that this guy is a fleeing felon. But anyway, when the robber walked in, he didn't make it clear that he was robbing the bank right away. In fact, he asked the teller how could he set up direct deposit. But then he was found out, I guess they noticed that he was wearing tape on his fingertips, obviously to disguise or conceal or hide his fingerprints. So he was apparently he has a violent criminal history, been convicted of second degree murder and assault, bodily harm, less than murder in 1989. So the guy did, the customer did a good thing. The teller asked him to have a seat, but instead of waiting, he took out a semi-automatic handgun, pointed it at her, and demanded money. He told the customer, told the customer that shot him to get back there with the other three employees, but the customer said that he couldn't. So the robber grabbed him by the back of the neck and pushed him to one side of the counter. And then he demanded, you know, give me all the cotton picking money and no hidden dye packs, he said. The tellers handed him the cash, but the customer looked over his shoulder. Now here's where it gets dicey. He looked over his shoulder and put a round in the chamber of his concealed Smith & Wesson M&P shield, which could hold 8 rounds. He had a license to carry a concealed weapon. And then he opened fire, emptied the gun, hit the robber 3 times out of 8, once in each arm and once in the leg, and another shot smashed the glass of one of the bank's windows. So this is a classic case right here, a good example of why that you should carry your gun loaded. And yes, everybody in the chat room, that is absolutely thunder. It was thundering vigorously here a little while ago, and kind of some weird sound and thunder. Not sure what's going on out there, but it's pouring down rain again and then thundering and carrying on. So rights at risk, you're welcome to it. You know, the only biggest thing I hate about the rain is all the cotton picking mud. Now, it's not as bad here as a lot of places, but we got a lot of volcanic cinders around here and stuff, so it's not as bad as a whole lot of places. But anyway, all right, let's get back over to the story. Carrying your gun loaded. Now, let's say that this guy he'd already had the gun pulled on him once. He'd already been grabbed by the neck and shoved in this room. So let's say, for the sake of argument, that he had been injured, even just minorly injured, to either one of his arms or hands. I say either one because you need to, unless you're trained otherwise, you need to hold the gun with one hand and rack the slide with the other. Now, there's 2 or 3 ways you can do it without doing it that way, but the average civilian out there, the average citizen, has no idea how to do that. So if something like that would happen, or let's say the guy grabbed him by the arm and was dragging him outside, or had him down on the floor and was dragging him out the door or something by that other arm, how's he going to get that gun into action? all guns, all handguns, all semi-automatic handguns cannot be racked easily by hanging the front sight on the, you know, on your belt or holster or boot heel or a table or something like that, especially if it's a, oh, it has those, oh, hell, I can't think of it now. The, who has the sloped rear sights on there? Dadgummit. I've installed 8,000 of them, and I can't think of what it is. Novak. Novak sights. That is extremely difficult to rack, hanging the it's not impossible, but it's difficult. Especially under a, under that kind of stress. So, but like I said, the average citizen doesn't go through that kind of training. The average citizen doesn't figure that out. There's ways to do it by locking it in your, in the crook of your knee or the crook of your elbow or, on a table, on your boot heel and one thing or another. But again, it's not always the, hooking on the rear sight only works sometimes, there, Peanut Rider. So anyway, if you're injured or what, and so what? Maybe you don't have the time. Now this guy said he looked over his shoulder and determined that he had had the time because the bad guy wasn't smart enough to check his victims there before he herded them off in this little area, and he should have either patted them down or put them in a room and locked them up, one or the other. So this guy was lucky that he had the time to do what he did. It also makes noise. If you're trying to be a little bit stealthy, then having to rack that slide, if you're going to do it without it making any noise, you have to do it very, very slowly with most guns. So there's a time factor, there's a noise factor, there's a, what would you call it, a, oh, I don't know what the word I'm looking for, a manipulating factor, some kind of where you may not be able to use the other hand. So there's a lot of ways, of all the different ways that there are to rack that slide one-handed. There's nothing guaranteeing that you know, if you don't know every one of them, there's nothing guaranteeing that the ways that you know are always going to be available to you. So, very long story, a whole lot shorter, always carry around chambered. There may be some very limited exceptions to that, but they'd be damn sure limited. Matter of fact, I can't think of one right offhand. I guess if you wanted to carry any of the several guns that do not have external safeties, fully loaded, carrying it Mexican style, as they call it, appendix carry with no holster, then it might be wise not to carry one in the chamber. But you should have other options and not usually be have to do it that way. So, but anyway. Yeah, if you've got good sights on it, I can and have done it. I did it during a El Presidente match one time. I realized as I had come out of the holster that I had forgotten to chamber around before I went in the holster, and I was right in the middle of my presentation to make the shot. And so the way, one of several ways that I do it, is to come out of the holster and go slightly back and go straight down on either the belt or the rear pocket if you're wearing jeans. Of course, this technique doesn't work if you're wearing spandex, but if you're wearing jeans, it works just fine, and I've done it many, 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 many times. I've demonstrated it during classes and stuff a whole bunch of times. And it's very, very fast. It's sure, it's positive. But, again, it's not the brightest thing to do if you don't have to. So, the guy never did return fire. Now, it said that he smashed when he shot 8 times. Or we assume the gun was fully loaded. We don't know other than the round in the chamber. So he hit the guy 3 times, and 1 round went through the window. So we have the one that went through the window, and possibly 4 other ones may have gone off out of their address to whom it may concern. So, yeah, the guy is being hailed as a hero, but, you know, at those kind of ranges and half of his shots didn't connect to the target, you'd think he worked for NYPD or something. Anyway, I'm glad it worked out. I'm glad it turned out the way it did, and I'm glad the good guy won. I'm glad the good guy wasn't injured. I'm glad that no bystanders were injured, and I'm glad that the guy got caught. He was he fell down of the $11,000 or so that he dropped. About 2,000 of it is still missing. They haven't accounted for it yet. Still under investigation, of course, but it appears like the guy was completely justified in what he did. And they're just waiting for a official conclusion here from the powers that be in the area there. So, anyway, there you have that. And with all that, you know, we're... I've got something going. I can't tell you, though. I guess I better not say it because there are competitors out there that may realize what I'm doing and try to head me off at the pass. So I'm going to have to wait until this deal is clinched and squared away here before I go any farther with that. But I'll let you know, and I should know possibly by the end of this week. So certainly by the end of next week. So within the next week or 10 days, we ought to have an answer for you. All right, and with all of that blabbering going on there, it just unbelievably it is already that time. Time for a break. So let me move some stuff around here, and I'll be back in a minute.
You have a weapon?
A big one. How about you? You sure you want to get cute with me?
You have a backup weapon?
Never had the need.
Get one. Keep that in your suit unless I tell you to take it out. Get yourself a Glock. Lose that nickel-plated sissy pistol.
Do you think that you can take me on? You must be crazy. There ain't a single thing you've done that's gonna faze me.
And it has taught me how to stand and fight for what I believe in. I guess that's just how I was raised. I find it hard to walk away. I will not back down when you push me to the wall, expecting me.
Someone ought to warn him before I knock him off his chair, 'cause my long hair just can't cover up.
Our house is all
are protected by the good Lord and a gun. And you might meet them both if you show up here not welcome, son. Our necks are burnt, our roads are dirt, and our trucks ain't clean. The dogs run loose, we smoke, we chew, and fry everything out here.
November, where we're gonna set things free. All good people gonna gather round, gonna show what made this country free. We'll run off the schemers and backroom dealers, so the red, white, and blue will prevail when we're holding a hammer. When we're holding a hammer. When we're holding a hammer. Every one of them looks like a
after she had me. Two nurses to hold me, one nurse to slap me. Doctor turned to mama and he shook his head, wiped the sweat off his brow. Then he said, this boy's way off the charts as far as I can tell. Ooh, mama, he's a double XL.
That's what I like to see, bullseyes, every time. And you can do the same thing with Byers Barrels. As long as you do your part, the custom barrels that you get from Byers Barrels will deliver award-winning accuracy shot after shot. Byers Barrels specializes in standard and 1-in-9-inch twist match-grade 22 long rifle barrels for the Ruger 10/22 and AR-15. If you want to win, visit their site at ByersBarrels.com. That's B-E-Y-E-R Barrels.com. Or you can call Clint at 360-374-9476 and tell him you heard it on the Shooting Fence, would you? Let him know that his advertising money is doing him some good.
It was over in a moment and the folks had gathered round. There before them lay the body of the outlaw on the ground. Oh, he might have went on living, but he made one fatal slip when he tried to match the ranger with the big iron on his hip. Big iron on his hip. Big iron. Big iron.
Okay. We're back here. You know, I forgot to tell you guys, you know, we've been having a little trouble with the laptop here from time to time. Well, finally, the cooling fan went completely out of it. So I started to take it apart once and figured out it really wasn't as easy as all of that. So I wound up having to put it back together. And I took a little small squirrel cage fan and tuck it on the side here and jacked up the side of the laptop here for a little bit. Corner B2 Basic. Jacked up the side of it and put a couple of little, ink pens and stuff. And I think I already told you that, so the air could get under it. And it did fine, but it took a long time to shut it down. I couldn't hibernate it, and had to stay in here until it was all done shutting down, then turn the fan off and everything. So it got to be a pain in the neck. I run it about a week that way. Well, I ordered my cooling fan. It got here. And I carried it to Las Vegas with me. And never did have the time to put it or try to put it in. I called a friend of mine who's a computer guy. And I said, what's the trick here? I didn't try to take this apart. And he said, you know what? Some of these laptops I don't even try to take apart. He said, I take them to people, and if they screw it up, they can pay for it. Well, I didn't have the money to take it to somebody right now, so I didn't have a choice. So with a little help of YouTube, I managed to figure it out. It's pretty ingenious the way they have these things put together. Pretty complicated, too. But I managed to get it all apart. I had everything laying in a puddle around here, and got my fan in there, and it works just dandy. I had it in. I think I did that. I did it yesterday. I did it yesterday morning. So it worked last night. It's still working. So evidently, I guess it's going to be all right. You know, I'm not sure I understand this here. I'm pretty sure, though, that this CEO of this company is an anal orifice. At the very least, he is an absolute freaking jerk. You guys may have seen this, and this really doesn't have a whole lot to do with free. I guess it does have to do with freedom and whatnot. He's free to do whatever he wants to, and people are not free to buy somewhere else. But he bought the rights to a drug that's been in circulation for 60 years. It's called Daraprim. He bought the rights to it, 62 years it's been around. He bought the rights to it last month. And why anybody would do this, I don't have any idea. It's a drug used by some AIDS and cancer patients, and I guess the main thing it's used for is life-threatening parasite infections, which you could do the same thing with diatomaceous earth, but not everybody does that. He increased the price of these pills from $13.50 a piece to $750 a piece. Understand what I'm telling you. From $13.50 to $750 a piece for a pill. That's like 6,000% or whatever it is. It says after the price hike, they've declared this guy the most hated man in America. Why would somebody do that? Hillary Clinton even called out it's called Turing Pharmaceuticals, and some other drug makers on Twitter for jacking prices up on old drugs. And so the guy, he's the 32-year-old CEO of this company. What a dork. He says Twitter seems to be a great medium for socialist and liberal rage. And, well, I can't argue with him about that. He's right. But he also called the price of this drug. He said this is a great thing for society. Anonymous 0099 there. I'm not sure who you are, but glad you made it in, and howdy to you. So I don't get this at all. I sure don't understand why someone did that. And I'm all for, you know, I believe in capitalism. I think it's a wonderful thing. This is one of those cases, though, one of the few cases that you can't take your business elsewhere. Usually you can say, well, if you're going to do that, you're going to be a jerk about it. Well, I'll just buy it somewhere else. Well, in this case, you're not going to. He bought the rights to the drug. Nobody's going to be making it anywhere. I don't know if I don't know what the laws are concerning synthetic or generic type drugs. I don't know what has to be followed as far as copycatting the original. I don't know what the stipulations are there, but at any rate, it looks to me like he is going to let people die rather than lower the prices. At $13.50 a pill, I'm guessing that there's probably already some pretty good money being made there. Be my guess. You know, D, so what if he wants to fund research? But is that any reason to raise the price of something over 5,000%? I mean, for crying out loud. I mean, I'm sure that everyone that has pharmaceutical companies and things like that want to fund research, but damn, you don't have to do it all with one pill. It sounds a little A little overboard to me, but anyway. Fortunately, at this point in my life so far, I don't need that particular drug, so I guess it's okay. I guess the people that do will either find that guy and beat some sense into him, or what. I'm not sure, Peanut Rider. They may have changed something on it and re-patented it or something. I don't have any idea. But that's the story. I have no idea who Ralph is or what all that's about, but, okay. All right, let's see if we can get another one or two in here before we go. Here's your tax dollars hard at work. This story is about 3 days old. It's in Denver. And it appears that this would be a good job for Captain LFA here. The Denver police have raided protesters camped out in front of a courthouse, and the Denver police SWAT team accompanied these patrol cars that went in Friday afternoon. Members of Occupy Denver and some other ones have been handing out flyers urging jurors to vote their conscience in what's called jury nullification. Now, I don't know what case or if there is a particular case that's in session that's going on right now that they're doing this for, or if they're just doing it just out of the goodness of their heart. But they said, you know, Occupy Denver or not, as much as I despise those idiots, they have every right, and as far as I'm concerned, a duty to pass out flyers educating people on jury nullification. They said it's resulted in arrests and court fights in the past months. Police told the protesters to remove what they called encumbrances, meaning objects that obstruct the plaza. I'm not sure how a flyer would obstruct the plaza, so we may not have the entire story there. But Anonymous 0099, yeah, I think that I'm pretty sure everybody here knows what CARE is. We've been talking about that quite a bit over the last couple of weeks here. Jury nullification is one of those things we're not going to spend any time on it because we've talked about it numerous times here, but just in a nutshell, jury nullification means if you think that law is unjust, that you don't have to, you can, how do I word it, you can vote, instead of voting guilty or innocent, you can say, you know what, this law sucks, and we don't believe in it, and we are nullifying this case or this verdict, or I'm not sure what it is that you're nullifying there, but to nullify it means that they have little choice but to dismiss it. If the jury nullifies the law, then they can't go forward with it anymore. Okay. Let me check here. There's a little story coming in here. Let me check that. No, we can wait on that one. Might do that tomorrow. All right, one more. And here is, we had to, let's see, that Anonymous mentioned CARE in there. So we'll throw in a Muslim story here. that's right, Peanut Rider. That's remember we talked at in great depth about jury nullification when we had that guy from Springerville in here that helped to educate us also on jurisdiction and you know, getting out of speeding tickets and such as that. So we spent, of course, that was a couple of years ago, but we spent a lot of time on that and did a whole show on it one time. All right, let's do this one. This story is coming out of Washington. The Pentagon and the White House have condemned reports that Afghan forces worked with U.S. military personnel, sexually assaulted boys, and members of and members of Congress complained about the way they've got this written. It says sexually assaulted boys and members of Congress. No, and members of Congress complained about a U.S. soldier being forced out of the military because he intervened in 2011, attacking an Afghan police commander he believed was raping a child. Now, as I recall, we talked about that story when it happened and never did check back on it. Well, apparently it's just coming out right now, day before yesterday, that this guy was forced out of the military because he intervened in this. And there's a Republican representative in California and a few others that are questioning the wisdom here of the military, discouraging troops from intervening in sexual assaults. This representative, named Duncan Hunter, said that Army Sergeant First Class Charles Martland must leave the Army by November 1st because his intervention to stop a child rape triggered a negative mark on his service record. So, what do you think? I think that what he, of course, not knowing exactly what the circumstances are, but it doesn't really matter if it is what they say it is, that a child was being sexually assaulted, then all he had to do was kill the person that was doing it. And that would have been okay with me. So I don't know what was involved in his intervention there, but apparently it's got him kicked out of the military on him. And of course the folks at the Department of Defense wouldn't comment on the specifics of the case, so we don't know if we have all the facts or not. But as a Navy captain here, a Pentagon spokesman said the United States has no policy directing forces to overlook human rights abuses. He told reporters on Monday that the U.S. troops can report such incidents through their chain of command, but added that sexual assault of children, while abhorrent, is fundamentally an Afghan law enforcement matter. So what that means is... What that means is if you see something like that happen, it's awful, but, you know, we'll let them deal with it. It's a law enforcement deal. We'll let them handle it. I don't know. I don't get it. I just don't understand the way that... I understand that when we're in other countries, we have to kind of... go along and play by their rules and stuff. But when those rules include sexually assaulting children and sexually mutilating girls, how do you just turn around and walk away? How do you say, okay, well, I don't think you ought to be doing that. I'm going to call the cops, then I'm going to go on down and get a beer. Man, I tell you, if you've been in country long enough to be that callous, I would say that You know, you might ought to pursue some other avenues there in some way or another. That's absurd to me. I don't get it. Laws or no laws, whatever the policies and stuff are, you know, ultimately what it boils down to is, particularly if you're a Christian, how do you face your God when this is, if you don't do something about that? How do you go up there and say, you know what, yeah, I know I saw it happening, and I know I could have stopped it, but, you know, it's against the law. I was just following orders. I don't know how well that's going to hold over, how well that's going to hold water or not. When I talk about these things, I get so damn depressed and discouraged. I can't talk right and everything else, so maybe we ought to move on here to something else. How about elk bugling? We ought to step outside here one night and see if I can get my microphone out there just right. I went out there just before the show started, and there's a couple of big old bulls right out there just carrying on, and they come right up here to the house, and the dogs bark, and you can't sleep. You can't, we're kind of in the open a little bit here, and you know, you can't just shoot the elk for bugling. So, although I did get some 22 Magnum bird shot, and rat shot, some people call it. And if they get right up here in the yard, I can pepper them with that stuff a little bit and probably convince them to move on out of here, at least for the rest of the evening. Let me get a little bit of sleep. That's we got lots of elk. You guys are going to be coming down here from Washington District. Of course, you got plenty of elk up in there. You're part of the country, too. But, yeah, we have them right up here at the house virtually every night. We had to put a good-sized fence around the garden and everything to keep the cotton-picking elk and deer and stuff out of it. Elk have run a lot of the deer off. There's not near as many deer in this part of the country as there used to be, and there's a whole lot more elk. You know, they've decided to not introduce, but restock, I guess, bring elk in here from primarily Wyoming and Yellowstone and whatnot, and they've pushed a lot of the deer out of here. You gotta hunt deer. There's still quite a few around, but you gotta hunt quite a bit harder to find them than you used to. So, anyway. Anonymous, you're right. Man and woman made to be with one another. That's a fact. That is a fact. And that's what them old bulls out there are hollering about. They're trying to get man and woman together. All right. Well, let me throw in a quick plug here one more time. For, you know, I'm going to tell you again. If you happen to be up at, and I have no financial interest in this, but if you ever happen to be around Henderson, Nevada, or Vegas, and head out the, I think it, what is it, 93, maybe, whatever goes down to Searchlight, there out of Laughlin, out of Henderson, and you just go down there about a, probably not even a half a mile, and take a right, and there's a big gun club right up against the mountain there. You can see it for miles around. I had no idea it was that big until I was up there this last Saturday. And good Lord Almighty, it is huge. There is so much to do up there. So if you get a chance, go check it out. That's a heck of a deal there. Okay. Well, I'm going to get on out of here. And we'll see you guys tomorrow. Amy will not be on tomorrow. And I will be on at my normal Wednesday time at 8:30 because there are other things happening. I don't have to go scouts, but I do have some other stuff that's taking place. So we'll see you then. Good night. Thanks for coming with me.
This has been The Shooting Bench with Cope Reynolds of Southwest Shooting Authority.